Hello!
Hey guys, it's Arden Cho.
This is Seth Gilliam.
Hey, this is Holland Roden.
My name is Kiahu Kuhuanui.
Hello, this is Ian Bowen.
Hey you guys, this is Melissa Ponzio.
I'm Lyndon Ashby.
Hey, it's Ronnie Adams.
This is Tyler Posey, and you are listening to Not Another.
Not Another.
Not Another.
This is Not Another Teen Wolf Podcast.
Yes, it is!
Oh!
Ha-ha!
This is Jeff Davis, and you're listening to Not Another Teen Wolf Podcast.
Everyone, welcome back to Not Another Teen Wolf podcast. We are joining you with a new hiatus episode in honor of Valentine's Day, my favorite holiday ever. Well,
your
maybe
voice
not.
Went like down when you said Valentine's Day. It was so funny.
Yeah. Jesus. No, we thought that we would do an episode about Valentine's Day. Well, about, you know, romance on Teen Wolf and couples and all of the favorite canon and non-canon ships and just all of our favorite moments. So this isn't really like a shipping episode in terms of like discussion and, you know, debate about, you know, what different ships are better or what should be coming and things like that. We're just going to talk about all of the major ships that, you know, that we like and that the fandom like and our favorite memories of them or our hopes and dreams for them, basically. So hopefully that's something everyone will enjoy with a little bit of romance for the season. You know, isn't that nice? You know, I know I always think of, like, Valentine's Day when I think about Teen Wolf. So, yeah, I mean, this was actually Karen's concept. And Karen, I didn't know that you were such a romantic that you wanted to focus a whole episode on Valentine's Day for Teen Wolf.
You're hilarious.
So, yeah, talk me through why you made that choice.
Because we happened to have an episode coming out a few days after Valentine's Day, and I was desperately searching for a topic. So there you go. That's the genius behind this episode.
You should have made something up much more meaningful. You'd be terrible as a famous person doing press. What? It's true.
That is true.
Anyway, no, look, it's going to be fun. And yes, our scheduled episode for Monday the 16th, which hopefully will actually reach you on Monday the 16th. Last week we tried to have an episode on Monday and there was a problem with the podcast uploading. So we're sorry that was late. It affected a few of the Hyperball podcasts, but hopefully you enjoyed it anyway. But yeah, so Valentine's themed episode, Teen Wolf, let's get into it. If you want to join us, you might have seen us talking on Twitter about like favorite ships, and you know, we've taken that into account for some of the ones that should be included. We might not get to every single like fanon ship, you know, hopefully we've covered all the major canon ones. If you want to join us over on Twitter, it's on NATW podcast. You can email us, same handle, natwpodcast@gmail.com, or you can reach us on our Tumblr, notanotherteenwolfpodcast.tumblr.com. You can follow that blog on our site at Tumblr. You can also reach us on Instagram, again, NATW podcast, for the moments where we post pictures of either when we get to meet up or do teen related things in life and stuff like that. So that will be all fun. You can also reach us on this post on Hyperball if you want to do that. Leave any commentary in the comments section on Hyperball if that's how you find us. Anyway, now that you have learned how to contact us in a variety of ways, I'm going to hand over to, you know, closet romantic Karen to lead us through, you know, all of the love that, you know, we feel about the various couples on Teen Wolf.
Oh, yeah. Closet romantic. That's me. You know, I actually wrote an article about the 10 single ladies you should look up to on Valentine's Day. That was my contribution to this holiday.
Did that include any Teen Wolf ladies?
It did. It included Lydia.
Mm-hmm. That's good. I mean, she's, you know, I wouldn't say she's not single by choice in terms of, like, you know, she copes very well being single. That's absolutely fine. But her boyfriend was, like, murdered. So that was good.
Yeah. I talked about basically her just wanting to do whatever she wanted to do and how I appreciated that. So she was up there at the top. All right, so first we're going to jump into the canon couples, and we have to talk about the main one, which is Scott and Allison. I'm going to let you go first, because yours is really morbid. I'll follow up with my less morbid one, but this is all about our favorite moments between these couples.
Yeah, so Scott and Allison... Sorry, Karen, but I picked her death, which is really makes me sound like, yeah, I hate her so much, or I hate the ship so much that I only liked it when she died. No, that's not what I mean at all. What I mean is, I don't know, I just found, like, the words between them at her death really strong and really important, in a way that I think will affect Scott for the rest of his life, like, absolutely. For sure, in the kind of way that you kind of want to say, no, Scott, you're never allowed to love another, if you know what I mean, even though he already kind of, well, they weren't, like, together and stuff when she died. It's one of those moments that, like, you know, in, you know, extreme fiction or, like, teen fan fiction, where, you know, the realities of life don't happen, you know, he would be pining away forever for that lost moment and that lost person. And that's not, like, super healthy or super true to life. But I don't know, just the way that they talked, or, you know, mainly she talked in that scene when she was dying was, I don't know, just the strongest moment for me. And I mean, I always shipped them. I just sort of accepted them. Something that we've talked about with Teen Wolf a lot is that they don't, you know, yes, obviously shipping is a really big part of the fandom, but the show isn't a romance. It's not like, who's going to get together this week, you know, and that's not like a plot of the show, really. It sort of comes and goes, and it's not a major plot of the show, so I've never been sitting there, you know, really focusing on the relationships all of that much. But, you know, they were there, and they were a really cute interpretation of that kind of dating where people get, you know, a bit serious in high school, and obviously thrown into this crazy world together brings people a lot closer. And I really liked them as, like, the lead couple for the show for a long time. And now she's dead. So.
Yeah, basically. No, but I do understand that, like, her death, you know, as tragic as it was a really beautiful moment between them, and especially the way the camera sort of, like, pans out, and it's just the two of them, and he's holding her. It's a really strong moment. But whenever I think about Scott and Allison, the scene that always comes to mind for me is when they're in the forest, and it's, like, their first date. They skip school, and she, like, soccer moms him in the car, which is hilarious. But they're just walking through the forest, and being adorable, and it's before anything really starts to go crazy, and it's just like, man, I wish we could hold on to that moment forever, because things were so simple back then, back in season one.
Yeah, that's true. And I mean, you know, I'm sure she'd be impressed with what he's done and what he's become in season four. I'd like to think that she's pretty impressed with what he's done, but she did, so...
Yeah. Well, the cool thing about Scott, too, is, like, he's matured so much since season one in a lot of different ways, but I guess jumping into Scott and Kira, one of the reasons why I like them so much is because Scott and Allison's relationship was, like, super intense, all in, really passionate, and, like, that's fine, but... his relationship with Kira was a lot slower and a lot more, like, friendly. It felt like they were friends for a little bit before things really got going. And my favorite scene is when they're in bed together. And the best part about that scene is nothing happens. I think that might have been their first kiss, but the thing is, like, he was being a gentleman and he was sitting in the chair and she's like, you can come join me on the bed. And he's like, no, it's okay. And she's like, no, come join me on the bed. But then nothing happens and they just want to be next to each other. And I think that's really sweet.
Yeah, I like them. Like, they're, I don't want to say that they're, like, light and stuff, but he's not trying to replicate the, you know, the crazy intenseness of everything with Allison, you know, some of which was due to circumstance. But they're kind of light, and they're in the same boat about a lot of things, and it's just a different way of operating. Like, you know, your dynamic with different people is really different, and I'm glad that, you know, if he's not going to, like, pine away forever, that they did choose someone who was, you know, different and had a different chemistry with him. I liked that they sort of had them kind of already liking each other once him and Allison were, you know, moving on from each other, that it wasn't like he met her and it was like moving on after Allison died, if you know what I mean. Like, that I think that it was actually really good that they kind of knew each other and already invested in each other before Allison died. Otherwise it might have been a little bit different and a little bit more unhealthy possibly. But my favorite moment, at least that springs to mind immediately, was actually when she asks, you know, to see his werewolfness, like when she finds out and he takes off his helmet and he's like, oh, werewolf. And she's just like mega stoked. And I'm not saying she has like a fetish for werewolves, but she's just like, I'm not. Because we all know that she's probably a fantasy nerd and, you know, wrote like weird fan fiction as a child. But I really like that her reaction, you know, when he takes off the helmet is just like amazed, like, oh my God, that's so amazing. Because a lot of people, you know, finding out about Scott, like both his mother and Allison, you know, reacted relatively badly, and they had the right to, because, you know, everything was really new and crazy and they didn't know anything about the world that they were in. Kira was discovering this stuff about herself, and, you know, for her, discovering this about Scott was like a really, you know, positive thing, something that made her feel like supported. And it's just, you know, a nice change for Scott to get that reaction. And I liked that a lot.
Yeah, so did I, especially because she touches his face. And like, if you think about that, if somebody, you know, took off their helmet and they have a werewolf face, like your first reaction is going to be to step back and be like, whoa, wait a second. But she was like, she touched it and she wasn't afraid of him. And I think that's the biggest thing.
And he looked like shame, if you know what I mean. Like he's, you know, when he looked like, oh, you know, this is going to be bad, like, you're going to hate this, and then she's just like, you're so cool, Scott, and it's, I don't know, it's nice, I always liked that.
Yeah. Our next ship is one I think that, well, I know, it's a fact, it causes a lot of controversy. Some people really love it, some people really hate it. I happen to like it quite a bit, and that's Styles and Malia. I was surprised by how quickly I got invested in them as a couple, and the place that the writers have been taking it. I think it's really interesting. And I think the part that really cemented it for me was when, you know, Malia has all this trouble with, she only thinks about her own survival. But at one point during the show, she says, I would never leave you, to Styles. And that shows you how incredibly loyal she is to him. And I think given everything that she's been through and the fact that she still has a lot of those instincts as a coyote, that's huge. That's really huge. And it's the little moments, too, where she sort of takes on Styles' mannerisms or the things that he does. Like, she chooses her highlighter colors in terms of how he chose the strings for, like, his mystery board. And I just thought, oh, that's so good.
I like that they're not, again with Scott and Kira, that they're sort of not scared of each other's ruthlessness, basically, because both Styles and Malia are harsh people. And, you know, there's just a few moments where they're such a good team. Like, usually you have a relationship where two people are kind of like, oh, one's the, you know, one's the foil to the other in some way. But, and in some ways that is true. Like, you know, Styles helps her to kind of be socialized and stuff like that. But when Styles doesn't have to be socialized himself, like when it's talking about like, oh, that episode where they're trying to handle like Liam in the lake house and they're both, you know, Styles will say something like really ruthless and Malia will always be like, yep, we should do that, if you know what I mean. And yeah. I just like them being really hard ass together. One of the moments that meant a lot to me was when she's struggling with her, like, you know, wear changes and is talking to Styles while she's sort of chained up, and he's, like, not afraid of her. And I think he says something like, she's all just like, you don't understand, I want to, like, hurt you and rip your face apart. And she's like, he's just like, you know, you know, surprisingly, you're not the only person that's ever said that to me. And he's just like, chill with it, basically. And I really, really like that. But my favorite moment, I think, was just pretty much every moment where, like, Sheriff Stalinsky's just like, yeah, this is my son's girlfriend, the coyote. Not that, you know, not in those words, but, like, especially the bit where he's just like, you know, let's go out to dinner, Malia, what do you most like to eat? And she's like, deer, and Stas is like, pizza. She likes pizza. And just there's just been quite a few moments with the sheriff and Malia. Like, I like to think of them, like, banding together and making fun of Styles and all of that kind of thing. And I just think that they're really cute. And it does cause a lot of controversy, this ship. You know, people are not too sure about it. I liked it pretty instantly when Malia came back into the group. Like, when she was in Eichenhaus, I didn't know about that entire situation, but I really like her when she's part of the group. And, you know, I think that with this show, our podcast, we've come up with enough theories about, like, why her, you know, her level of socialization and mental age and stuff, like, why it works for the show. So I think that I have really positive feelings towards this ship now. I don't know if it's going to be like a forever and ever thing. Like, I don't know if Malia is, you know, the kind of person that might want to, like, run wild in the world, but she does seem pretty loyal, as you said, to Styles and, like, you know, wanting to stick with him, like, you know, him being afraid that she's going to run away in that premiere episode of season four, and her just saying, no, of course not. Like, I wouldn't leave you. And it was really cute. I don't know. I am a fan of them. I can see this, though, being like, and we can maybe talk about this in, like, the fanon area. I can see this ship as being an opportunity for some really, like, I don't know, just slightly less traditional or conservative relationship values. Like, I can't remember on the show if they've said something like about, like, coyote instincts in terms of that, whether they're meant to be, like, you know, mate for life, foreverness, or, you know, if it's sort of different to that. But I can see their personalities, coyote aside, as being, like, two people in a very, like, happy relationship that was maybe, like, open, where they were, like, also seeing other people for fun but were, you know, still together, which isn't something usually portrayed on TV very positively. But I can see their personalities having something like that worked if they wanted to. And I don't know, I feel like they have a lot of potential for a lot of different fun stuff, and I do hope that they stay together for a while.
Yeah, so do I. So somebody who hasn't had too much luck in the romance department is obviously Derek, but that might all be changing with his relationship with Brayden. And I wasn't really into this to begin with, because I wasn't sure where they were taking it, especially since Brayden at first was a very sort of, like, in a gray moral area, and I wasn't entirely sure if she was going to end up betraying anybody. But it seems like she's on the team now, and I'm a lot more open to the two of them together. And I like the way that Derek acts with her. He kind of lets down some of his walls. And the one moment when he's on the couch and he's being all grumpy and he, like, turns away from her is just so funny.
Yeah, I love what they started doing with her towards the end of the season that we've just watched. But the season four and her development with Derek. And, you know, it's the same with you. Like, you know, I don't really know at first what Brayden cares about, but I think that they've done a really good job making her not have that, like, really stereotypical arc of, like, oh, secretly I care about things, so now I'm good, and it's like a weakening, if you know what I mean. Like, you know, I'm, you know, or like who she was before was a front. And I don't think that her development has been like, oh, you know, my front is fake, you know, like my badassness is fake, and inside I'm just this person that cares about stuff. I don't think it's, you know, I think that it's a lot more complex than that, and I like what they have done with her. But yeah, I agree that that scene, that entire episode of Derek and Brayden's interactions, which I think was the episode called Time of Death, the one where they kill Scott, or pretend to kill Scott, and Derek and Brayden have their own plot. That entire thing is just phenomenal, because I love that it's, you know, while he's human, like while he's kind of the quote-unquote like weaker one, like he's got none of his powers and he only knows how to rely on them, so she's teaching him how to fight, you know, that whole like, you know, arm wrestling and shooting a gun and, you know, learning to bend, and it's all very both cute and very sexy as well, like a lot sexier than like a lot of the teenagers' relationships, and it made me very happy. I liked them a lot. I thought they were great. I'm like grinning really stupidly.
I can
about
tell.
So yeah. I did. I liked them so much. It was really cute.
Yeah.
And I hope that they do have like a plot next season. If you know both actors are going to be taking part in the show. Obviously Tyler Hoechlin will, but you know, if Megan Tandy's going to come back to the show, I think that could be a really, you know, healthy thing for Derek. And I don't think Derek even minded losing his werewolf powers. Like, I see Derek as you know, a person who's kind of put up with what he's got. But I don't know, I loved happy and chill non-werewolf Derek. And it was one of the best times of my life, I'm not going to lie. And I would love, you know, even though he is that, you know, beautiful, pure, you know, full wolf now, I would really love, you know, to see them working together, you know, and her staying on the show. But yeah.
Yeah, definitely agree. Now, unfortunately, this next one is not really my jam, which is fine. There's going to be some on here that, you know, we both don't like. But Isaac and Allison, I don't really have a favorite scene, but you do with an added person. Which
well,
was
not
that?
Even with an added person. Okay, Isaac and Allison, I think they did a fantastic job. I think this show did a fantastic job with very subtly. They never spelled it out. Like, there was a whole season where they never spelled it out. They were never like, hey, Isaac and Allison are going to be a thing. But you could just sort of tell from, like, tiny little looks, like, that Jeff had sat them down and said, okay, so in, like, 10 episodes' time, you guys are going to be a thing, or in next season you guys are going to be a thing, and so I want you to work up to having these little bits of chemistry in your scenes, because they're going to be a thing, and we don't want to, like, you know, actually make it super, you know, obvious or spell it out, but it was really well done how they built it up. So I like their chemistry, even if I don't necessarily super agree with this ship. And if you've listened to this podcast, and probably the entire fandom, I have never wanted ever, like, and all of the discussion sounds like I'm into, like, these, like, you know, super alternative style relationships, and I'm not, like, I'm not really part of that community or anything like that, like, you know, with open relationships and polyamory and all of that kind of thing. But this Scott, Allison and Isaac, that's just what it should have been. It should have been some sort of very agreeable three-way dating situation is what it should have been. And I wish it was. That being said, it was not. And my favorite Allison and Isaac related scene was actually when Isaac and Scott are talking about, you know, Isaac's like, but I didn't do anything. And then basically Scott and Isaac are trying to have the talk about whether it's like cool for Isaac to date Allison, and I don't think Scott was like super aware of how much Isaac was feeling, and then Scott was just like, you know, no, it's cool man, and then he's just like, wait a minute, but did you want to do something? And Isaac was like, oh yeah, hell yeah, and then Scott throws him against the wall. So that is my favorite scene involving Isaac and Allison. I have some complicated feelings about that ship, but I just really appreciate the work that the show did in building up a relationship, you know, without hitting people over the head with it. Just, you know, enough vibey stuff to make people go, hang on, is that on purpose? Or is that something like we're making up a ship in our head? And I really liked that, so, yeah.
Yeah. And another one that I wasn't really into until the finale of season two was Lydia and Jackson. And I know that you really like Jackson, so, and I think we pretty much have the same scene, so I'll let you just talk about that.
Oh, no, I think I was talking about an earlier one because I didn't want to pick the same one as you. But, yeah, just towards the end of season two, stuff, you know, with Lydia and Jackson, because obviously the show is pretty much from Scott's perspective, you know, most of the time. And Lydia and Jackson looked, you know, to appearances as this very, very aggressive, you know, couple sort of might be dating each other for, you know, like the kind of prestige and all of that kind of stuff, but we didn't really ever see them in private and what their dynamic is like when they just sort of have their guard down. And I didn't particularly, you know, believe in their relationship until I think a few episodes before the finale, when Jackson basically comes at Lydia very angrily and is accusing her of like editing the video that with his Canema stuff on it, whatever, Jackson, basically accusing her of breaking into his house because she still had the key and kind of giving her a really hard time about giving it back. And she sort of was like crying and she's like, fine, if you really want it, you know, back. She kind of pulls it out from like she's been wearing it around her like neck because it meant something to her. And then she's crying and he kind of like has a bit of a like, oh, he kind of gets really upset that she's upset and like tries to comfort her and like, it's not, like, super romantic because they're both really angry at each other, but they are, I don't know, it's just a moment, I think, a private moment that shows the audience that, you know, behind the scenes that they had some pretty genuine feelings that got lost along the way, and I really started feeling for them then, which then ties into what happens in the finale, which I cried really hard at. Like, I don't, there's not many moments in Teen Wolf that have made me more devastated than that Teen Wolf finale with Jackson and Lydia. So, yeah, do you want to kind of explain that?
Yeah, and my whole thing with the finale and this couple in general ties in with that key, too. I really loved that flashback scene of when Jackson gives her the key for the first time.
And they're in bed and they're, like, happy and chill.
Yeah. I think that finally cemented for me that, yeah, these guys do have feelings for each other. They just have trouble showing it sometimes. But in the season two finale, it was just when she presented the key to him and it helped him kind of relinquish the hold on the Canema and turn into a werewolf. And I just thought that is such a beautiful moment and also devastating because you can see the look on Styles's face. But, you know, I was still really happy for the two of them, no matter, I mean, even though season three didn't really work out too well, but, you know, it happens.
It would have been interesting to have him around Jackson, and I'd like to think that he would maybe come back one day, but, you know, he's, you know, and Lydia clearly doesn't, you know, talk too much to him or about him, but I liked that ending and that it was genuine and yeah, just that the emotions were real and I know it was upsetting. People like them, like they have trouble, like, you know, in relationships, like because they are, you know, people who are quite harsh and people who are quite aggressive and not like super into like, you know, publicly or even privately acting like allowing themselves to look vulnerable by having like feelings, if you know what I mean. Like they have trouble in relationships and, you know, it's hard to express things. And I really like that sort of that's how they were rather than that it was like just really shallow and stuff like that.
Right. And I guess that kind of leads into, you know, Jackson leaving, then the twins come in and Lydia starts fooling around with Aiden. And I mean, they're doing things everywhere, all over the school, on coach's desk. And that was one of the things that I kind of thought was always going to be pretty shallow. And then she would find out the kind of guy he was and she would break it off. And that did sort of happen, but it developed, their relationship developed further before that happened. And I always really liked how they handled that because at first it was very physical and then things started going crazy and you get near the end of season 3A and, you know, Jennifer attacks the twins, and Lydia has to come in and do her thing. And when Aiden is waking up and, you know, they can't become whatever we called them. I forget what we called the two of them together. The twin mobile.
Yeah, alpha.
Yeah,
no, that was Deucalia.
Yeah. The twin mobile, I think, is what we called them. And Aiden just says, I knew you liked me. And in that moment, I was like, wow. Like, it matters to him whether or not she actually does like him. And I just thought that was a really subtle way to kind of move their relationship further along.
Yeah, it's, them twins. them twins give me a headache sometimes. Yeah. in real life. But, yeah, I really liked them, like, they did develop it really well. Like, they did a really good job of making it, you know, something that was both casual and, like, even started by the twins as kind of, you know, manipulative, like, you know, getting close to these people to find out about them. And then it became really, really real. And, you know, Lydia ends up making a call about, you know, Aiden being a bad guy, and they have all of that, and that ends up mattering to him even more. And then he dies as well, and is all like, tell Lydia that didn't suck, or whatever it was that he said. Which was really sad.
Yes. But
one of the things that I really like was, like, just a little bit involved with their physicality where, yeah, they are sort of making out all over the shop, and just their relationship of being very free and expressive with each other. And the one scene, I can't even remember if it happened, like, before they split up the first time or when he came back in season four, but they are, making out, and Lydia was just like, do something useful with your hands or something, because Aiden only has them on her waist and she would like a bit more touchy-feely than that. And it was just really, really cool for a few reasons to me, you know, both, you know, Lydia taking charge of what she wants and how she wants to be handled, and, you know, Aiden as a dude waiting for her to kind of ask for that and not being, you know, pushy or anything like that about it. I just thought it was a really great scene for teen sexuality, basically, and dynamics and stuff like that. And I thought it was a really, really nice, I say a nice moment. I thought it was a cool moment with a good dynamic for people to see. But anyway.
Yeah definitely. And speaking of the other twin, Ethan, I didn't have a specific moment for his relationship with Danny, because I think I like the overall concept of it most of all. And like you said, how it began with it being sort of a manipulative kind of strategic move, and yet it turned into something else. And Danny's relationship with Ethan turned into something else before Aiden's with Lydia did. And I always liked how Ethan was sort of like the better of the twins, the more sensitive one.
Yeah.
That was always pretty cool to me, but you had a specific one.
I really like the moment with them at the concert, I guess, that Jennifer is putting on, and they kind of know that everything is going real crazy. Well, Danny maybe doesn't know. Maybe he does know, who knows? We don't know what Danny knows. At the time, Danny didn't know, or we didn't know that Danny knew exactly what was going on. And Ethan, you know, number one, Danny's going to play in the band at the concert, and Ethan is there kind of like straightening his tie and fixing his hair, and he gives him like a little breath mint, and it's all super cute. God. And then he just goes through the motions of being this really like sweet, like attentive, like thing. And I think it makes him realize to himself how much he cares and how much he'd been sort of getting into the relationship, like maybe without even realizing it. Because he sort of turns back and he's like, if anything happens, find me, like, and I'll take care of you, basically. Like, because they, you know, thought that stuff was going to go down with this crazy, you know, sacrifice thing. And it was just this really genuine moment, and I liked it a lot. But, yeah, I miss Ethan. I hope that he might come back, but I don't know. He, you know, I don't know if they would want one twin and the other one is dead, and I don't know. Boo.
Yeah, that would make me really sad.
Anyway.
Last canon couple that we have on our list is Victoria and Chris. And this is another one that, well, obviously they were married and we knew that they loved each other, but I think Victoria as a person never really meant a whole lot to me until her death scene, which is so tragic. But she was always just such a very hard and cold person. And I was like, you know, does she even care about her daughter? Like, obviously I knew she did, but her reasons for doing things weren't clear to me. And so her actions just were very off until she decided that she was going to kill herself in her daughter's room because it was the only way to be close to her during that time, which was really, you know, tragically beautiful. But also the fact that she wanted Chris to be there with her, and the fact that this strong, independent woman said she needed help and she needed his help to do what needed to be done. And it was so sad, but at the same time, I thought it was such a good moment for the two of them.
Yeah, no, I really agree. And everything, I mean, everything surrounding Victoria's death, like, you know, Chris himself has, like, lost a lot of people, like, in the line of duty and whatever. You know, we've seen his, you know, his hunting team in, like, first season, you know, random people in it get, you know, killed and stuff and all that kind of thing. And he, you know, you'd almost think, like, with the harshness in that family, that would just be like, well, someone died. They died doing the job that we're meant to do. Like, death isn't that big a deal for us, basically, if you know what I mean. But his breakdown, both, like, when Victoria's talking to him and afterwards, like, in the hospital when he, you know, meets Allison, is really a lot. Like, it's a lot. And I really, well, I'm going to say I liked that. I didn't like it, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
yeah, I appreciated that. And I think that, yeah, both of the actors did a really, really good job with that. And it was especially for people who, like you said, like in the context of the show, we didn't really care about slash the opposite of cared about, like until that point, like, you know, they were like the horrible people that were against the lead characters. So, yeah.
Okay, well, hopefully we can get into some happier stuff, but now we're going to talk about fanon couples, and what we're going to do is we listed as many as we possibly could. We took a bunch of ideas from you guys on Twitter that tweeted us your favorite couples, and we're going to talk about, you know, either our favorite moment in the show that made us start shipping them, or like our ideal date, or just something that we would like to see to happen, even things that we've read in fan fiction that we really liked. And the first one, obviously, is going to be Steric, Styles and Derek. And this one was surprisingly difficult for me. I actually left it blank until Natalie filled hers in, because I was like, I've read so much Steric fan fiction and I've thought about it for so long that I was having trouble thinking of a specific moment that I could really pull out and talk about. But Nat, you have a bunch on here. I'm just going to let you run wild and I'll interject with my agreeance.
In the canon, it's difficult to talk about because, yeah, it definitely wasn't, like, something that I necessarily shipped immediately while watching the show. It was, like, it was kind of, like, fandom reacted to that, and then you would go back and be, like, oh, that chemistry is really good or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they've certainly made an effort to have Styles be quite a unique presence in Derek's life, and well, for them both to be quite a unique presence in each other's lives, which is something always really interesting. But some of my favorite canon moments between them, one of the really big ones for me was after Derek kills Boyd, like after the twins make Derek kill Boyd, and he's sort of sitting there on his knees, you know, in the apartment being like, everything is terrible. And, everyone is sort of standing back because they're freaked out and they're also, you know, don't really know what to do. And Styles is the only one that goes over to him, and he basically just puts a hand on his shoulder and offers a tiny bit of support. And I just liked that that was Styles. Like, it almost would have made more sense for it to be Scott, except I can't even remember who was there in the scene. But I loved that it was Styles, and it was just, I don't know. It was just a moment that has always really stuck with me. A couple of the other ones, obviously really, really, really great one was the one with Danny and the cousin Miguel, or whatever his name was, and his Styles' obvious assumption / use of Derek's body and how that would work out for him. That was great. And again, another one that stuck out to me really early on was in the episode Abomination, when they're talking about, I guess, the Canema and what happens with the shape-shifting and stuff. The conversation is between Scott, Styles, and Derek. And they have this moment where basically Styles says, like he says an abomination in response to just, like, Derek explaining, like, you know, what happens with the shapeshifter, and Derek loses it. Like he, it's nothing big, but his face is just like, it falls, like he is devastated. And it's basically because Styles very much implies that, you know, he thinks that what Derek is an abomination, or what Derek and Scott, like, this is still at the point where Scott's not super comfortable, like, being a werewolf and thinks it's a problem. And I don't know, there's just this moment where Derek's face is devastated because Styles or anyone is considering him like that, and it always stuck with me. And then obviously another really big one was Styles being like Derek's spirit guide or whatever in his dream when he was getting de-aged. Oh, I can't believe I forgot about all of the stuff with the de-aged Derek.
Oh my God. Yes.
But when he was with real Derek in his dream and him, like, you know, talking him through that. But then obviously literally everything when he was stuck with
young Derek.
Freaking amazing. It was so good. So, yeah, that was some of my favorite sort of canon moments. As I said, like, I have read a lot of fan fiction, and I'm trying to think of anything, like, that I would sort of like to happen either in the show or, like, you know, an ideal fantasy kind of way that they would interact, or a date or anything like that. I don't know. There's so much, but I can't really think of anything. But yeah, Karen, what were you thinking about?
Well, definitely the thing where Styles goes and puts his hand on Derek's shoulder, I think that really meant a lot for the two of them, because they're always butting heads, and yet Styles really empathized with Derek in that moment. And so I thought that was really important to show that they don't hate each other, they just don't always get along. But God, I can't believe I forgot about young Derek too. Oh, and he's being so sassy with Styles and...
And the egg roll, and the dad, and Scott's dad, and
it's so beautiful.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
A lot of the fan fiction stuff that I like between them is actually from, like, season one era, and I really like a lot of those fics that, like, Derek's still living in his burnt down house, and Styles tries to convince him to get out of there, like, helps him rebuild it, and things are still, like, they're very much on different sides, and they're very much, like, in different places, and yet they can come together and sort of, like, help each other out. Not that I dislike this new and improved Zen Derek, but I think in terms of, like, the Styles and Derek dynamic, the thing that I always really liked so much about them is it's like they seem like they hate each other, but in reality, you know, they probably have other feelings about it. So that's what I always liked.
I love Styles and Derek kid fic, like, where Styles has a child or children in some way, like, for some reason, and he comes back to town, like, when they are, like, older, like, say, like, 10 years from now or whatever, and just Derek interacting with children, basically. But I have read several fics in which that happens, and I really love it. But I don't know, I haven't been in the zone of, like, thinking about Teen Wolf canon like that, like, for a while, so I'd have to, like, really think about, like, what I feel about their relationship, you know, like, in terms of, like, what I believe about them and what I would like to see. But I don't know. There's so much. And, I'm very interested in people's, like, headcanons about them and all of that kind of thing. Like, I don't know about the show, like, about what, you know, could or would ever happen. I think that the dynamic has changed a bit, or that they've just been – separated a bit for quite a while now, but I think that they hold a really unique place in each other's life, and I don't think that that's going to change, and I really enjoy that. So yeah, we shall see.
Yeah, definitely. And another huge ship for Styles is Styles with Lydia. I can't even tell you guys how many suggestions we got for Styles and Lydia, but it was a lot. And this is something that I've always really liked, but always really wanted a very slow burn on it. I mean, Lydia back in season one was not particularly nice. And I think, you know, of course, a lot of that was a front, and we knew that she was very intelligent and that she did care about what people thought about her and that sort of thing. But as the show's progressed, she's turned into such an incredible character. And more importantly, her relationship with Styles has changed so much, to not even knowing who he is to, I mean, I think they're best friends now. I mean, they're so, so close. And especially now that Allison is gone, there's very few people I think that Lydia can really rely on wholeheartedly. And obviously, Scott is definitely one of them. But Styles has always sort of been there. And I always wanted them to become friends first, and then eventually down the road be in a relationship. And I think one of the scenes that really stood out to me for some weird reason was Lydia calling Styles when she finds the dead body for the first time, like when she's really starting to come into her banshee powers. Because I just love that she's going to him and that he's able to comfort her. And obviously there's like a few sassy remarks there about, you called the police, and you know, that part's funny. But I think it's really cool how much they rely on each other. And I even think it's cool right now, them as friends and them, you know, seeing other people and yet still feeling very comfortable with each other and not really having, you know, for example, Styles being with Malia be an issue. They can still be friends and there's no like jealousy or anything there, which is really cool because you don't see that a lot. And then, of course, the panic attack scene. I always really liked that because I feel like Lydia's face really betrayed how much she liked kissing him and how she was surprised by maybe what she felt. And I think it's kind of cool that they haven't really explored that yet, that it's still that slow burn and still like, well, we have too many other things to think about right now. And, you know, I can wait for this ship if it ends up happening. So that doesn't bother me at all.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like, I think that the most important thing about this ship, a lot of people at first didn't seem to really like it, and then sort of the tide kind of changed a bit. I think, as we've said like a lot of times, that the most important thing for this ship is for it not to be based in anything that Styles thought about Lydia before he knew her. And I think that that's very much happening, and I think that the fact that he's not like pining away over her even when he's with Malia, like that he doesn't really currently think about her like that, that's not an indication that, you know, that's not an indication that they can never be together, and it's not an indication that he no longer finds her attractive or anything, but it is an indication that, like, he's very comfortable with her as a friend, and that it's not, you know, that his any feelings he would develop for her later would come out of, like, their genuine care for each other, as opposed to, like, the fulfillment of, like, a crush that he used to have. Like, he no longer currently has a crush on her, which is really good, I think. Yeah, I think that it could certainly grow together in the future into something like, you know, into less of a crush and more of a decision. And I think that, you know, it would never be like, oh, I always loved you, if you know what I mean. I mean, it would be something new, which I really, really, really like. And in general, I just like their closeness and I like how comfortable they are together. I would potentially like this to, you know, end up happening, but I kind of don't know if there's any way that they'd get rid of Malia that I'd feel super comfortable with, if you know what I mean. Like, I don't know what Malia wants at the moment, like, and, you know, how if she would want to leave and how her feelings you know, how this would come into it, basically, like if we're talking about, like, really separated incidences or anything like that. But I wouldn't mind seeing this happen. There was a lot of moments in season four, I think, that really showed off their closeness that I really, really liked. One of them was actually in Eichenhaus. I think it was when they were going after Brunsky. I think even Parrish might have been there as well, or it was while Brunsky had them trapped and was going to, like, inject them, and it was, like, super creepy. I think it was this moment, and you're going to have to correct me if I'm wrong because I've been searching for it. There was just a moment somewhere in season four where she is, like, super traumatized by something. It might have been when she was here after she was talking to Meredith and, like, dealing with the banshee screams. It was something, some moment where Lydia was super traumatized and sort of came back to Styles, and, like, or he sort of either grabbed her out of it or was there, and he was sort of holding her, and he, like, kissed her on the forehead and was holding her against him, and it was just this thing, really comfortable physical moment, like for me, just becoming these people that were really, 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 really important to each other in a very genuine way. And I wish I could place the scene better than that. I think it might be after, like, she was talking to Meredith. It was something to do with Eichenhaus, at least. And I'm sorry that I can't be more specific, but it was just a moment that struck me that, like, even though, you know, Styles was with Malia and everything else was going on, that these were, like, two people, like, almost like two bodies that were super physically comfortable and just, you know, inseparable with each other. And, you know, whether that was romantic or not, like, it just really, really struck me about how close they had become. And I don't know, I hope someone can pinpoint the scene that I'm talking about, because I can see it, I just can't remember what episode it was in and, like, what exactly was happening. But but yeah, I do like the ship, and I do hope that it is, you know, I guess developed in some direction at some point.
Mm-hmm. Now, another ship that I know that you like is Lydia and Scott, which is another one that I was like, I'm not so sure about at first, but then I sort of really thought about it in the way that their friendship has developed, especially during that concert in season 3A that we were talking about before. They briefly hold hands, and it's sort of, it's not romantic at all. It's totally platonic, but they're sort of reassuring each other. And they're like, you know, I'm here, you're here, we're going to figure this out. And it was, it was such a cool moment that you don't see a lot between two people who are just friends, and it doesn't necessarily mean anything else. And I really liked that.
Yeah, I do like this ship. I can see this ship maybe weirdly being like a strange, like, end game ship. Maybe not even in the show. Maybe when they're like 35, if you know what I mean. Like, maybe like or something like that. Like, but there's something about them. Like, there's something about their working together and their kind of trust in each other, and I don't know, it is really interesting to me, and I haven't read too much exploring it or anything like that, but there has been a few moments of this dynamic that it's just really, really interesting to me, that I could definitely see it working in some way, maybe not right now, but I could see it.
The worst thing I just thought of was, yeah, when they're 35 and all their friends are dead and they're the only ones that are left.
Oh, my God. What is wrong with you?
I'm a closet romantic.
So you mean when Styles dies in season 5 so he can go play Spider-Man, right?
Oh, my God. Okay, let's not even talk about that, because I'm having serious, like, panic attacks about this. I don't want to think about it.
Okay, that wasn't a spoiler, everyone. That was just, like, some horrible theories that we're talking about behind the scenes.
Yeah.
But, yeah, imagine if they actually did that. So, yeah.
Okay. Anyway, moving on. We've got Skittles, best ship name ever, probably. Scott and Styles. And I blame my, like, fantasy on Brooklyn for sending me all of these road trip fics to read, because she loves Skittles and she loves Skittles road trips. And that's
I like my... I bet you had one. I want more than one.
I think I've read at least, like, three. But
they're really angry at Brooke, because she only, like, she'll be like, oh, it's very occasionally, she'll be like, read this fanfiction. I'm like, Brooke, send me literally every fanfiction that you read that doesn't suck. Literally all of them. I don't understand why, like, but she's really choosy. She's really like, no, if I'm going to show it to other people, it has to be, like, perfect, not just some, like, crap trash that I'm reading for my own wish fulfillment. So she's really discerning about the fanfiction that she'll share with other people. Yeah, it's fine. Send me all of the road trip fix. That would be really good for me.
Brooke, I know you're listening to this. Send it to both of us.
I agree. I love this concept. Like, I don't generally love, like, best friend ships. They're very, very few and far between for me. And this one, I'm kind of like, but I can see it. There are definitely a few moments in the show that I can see it, and there are also definitely certainly a lot of people in fandom who make it work really well, and I really like that concept of, you know, maybe you know, after high school or whatever, before college, like, taking some time together, like, to, you know, celebrate their friendship and stuff, and, you know, realizing, you know, things. And, you know, what better to do that than on a road trip? So that would be great. In canon, I really vibed it kind of in that moment where Styles was maybe going to die on the MRI, like when they hugged each other. They've hugged before and they've had some really emotional moments, like in Motel California and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. But that MRI scene, I don't know if it was because, like, Scott was, like, already, like, the hot alpha dad. And so he was, like, Scott had a little more in him that I was viewing a bit differently or something, but that MRI hug was quite desperate and charged to me, that I really felt something there that, you know, I don't think the show will actually, like, do that, like, but, like, I felt, you know, something in the canon that I hadn't necessarily felt before from it, but...
Yeah, I can't believe I forgot that scene, because I love that scene, not only because I'm pretty sure I cried, like, buckets during, well, first of all, during that entire episode, but that scene in particular was really scary. We weren't sure what was going on with Styles at that point, and we were really worried, and I just could really put myself in Scott's shoes and understand what he was going through. And, you know, not necessarily, like, the romantic aspect of it, but just as best friends, I really enjoyed that scene. But, yeah, there's an intimacy between the two of them that you don't see with guys a lot. And I love that they've gone there with that, because that's just how solid their relationship is.
Yeah, I really, really, really like it as well. So, yeah.
So
I would be interested if people want to send us more fan fiction. I remember when we actually talked to Heidi on AO3 about the Teen Wolf fandom, she mentioned, like, how non-prevalent that ship was in the fandom, like, how at the time, like, on Archive of Our Own, there were, like, not many Scott and Styles fics compared to, like, even some other pairings that are not very... necessarily very popular, like, at the time, like, Styles and Peter, I think, had more. But I think that the idea of Scott and Styles has grown a lot in the fandom in the last year or so. So I'd be interested in reading some of the really good stuff if anyone wants to link us and send any recommendations.
Yeah, same. And speaking of sexy alpha dad, why don't we talk about Scott and Derek's dynamic?
Yeah, this I never, ever, ever would have shipped before Scott was an alpha, ever. I never, ever thought it like that before. But since Scott has been an alpha, Derek has, like, worshipped at his feet, and it's, like, amazing. It's just great. And I know that some people hardcore love this ship, and I've never, like, explored it. I've seen some really cute fan art, and I know that there is a bit of fan fiction that I haven't really looked into, but... I just can't get over how much Derek loves Scott now. Like, if you know what I mean. Like, he freaking worships him, and it's incredible. And it's not in this condescending way. It's in this genuine, like, you know, did you ever know that you're Derek's hero? Did you?
I love the things, like, he's president of the Scott McCall Club, and
he's so intense, and it's great. It's just so funny. I don't know. I find it both hilarious and really, like, adorable. But one of my favorite moments is actually when they, in season four, when they're sort of dealing with Liam's anger problems and they're kind of testing him, and Derek goes and he goes and kind of taunts Liam with the lacrosse stick, and then Scott comes out and they do some, like, control stuff. And basically Derek has just got this, like, big, like, smiling boner for, like, Scott's power play. And it's just really interesting to me. I was just like, and this is the scene where, like, Scott's, he's wearing, like, a black button down, and he looks like a sexy dominatrix dad, which I've said a few too many times in my life to be comfortable with now. But I just, number one, it's like the hottest Scott has ever been to me in that scene. And number two, Derek's reaction to it is amazing. Like, you know, he's talking about, like, you know, you're going to be good at this with, like, looking after the beta and stuff like that. But it's just, it's so good. Like, he's so into it, and I'm so into him being into it. It's great. So again, that's a potential ship that I am quite interested in, if anyone wants to talk to me about it. I know our good friend Daunt is a big fan of that ship, I believe. So if anyone wants to come and talk to me and spread the good word, I'd be listening, I suppose. So yeah.
Yeah, it's one that I didn't think about all that often, and I didn't have anything down for this one, but then I just remembered how Scott that one time was like, how long have you been following me? And Derek was just like, all day.
All day.
Like, yeah, totally, like, not like, yeah, what's the big deal? Like,
yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
There's so many funny moments about Derek's obsession. As I said, I wouldn't have really seriously shipped it until season four. There's also that amazing moment in the hospital waiting room where Derek's like, my mom told me that I have to help you. It's really cute. I mean, it's a bit more complex than that, but you know what I mean, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Love them.
Sort of combining all of those at once, we have Scott Stiles and Derek as our next one. And this is Sour Skittles.
You only amazing. Put this in because you wanted to say Sour Skittles.
I did, actually. That's the thing. And I don't think either one of us are, like, super big on the ship. But the thing is, I like it better in, like, theory, I guess, than actual practice. Or maybe I haven't looked into it enough. I don't know. But I love the idea of, like, oh, Scott likes Stiles and Stiles likes Derek and Derek likes both of them. And, oh, well, let's just all get together. You know, I think that's kind of a cool idea.
Yeah, I like that it's called Sour Skittles. I'm pretty big on, like true love. Like, I tend to get in fandom. I tend to, you know, get involved with one ship that I'm like, there's no reason. I don't multi-ship. Like, I'm very much like, in Teen Wolf it's a bit easier because I don't intensely ship a particular pairing. But I generally very strongly am like, you need to give me a good excuse why these two people wouldn't be the ones who are getting together, because I'm never going to, like, believe, you know, another universe where they don't like each other, you know, in that way, if you know what I mean, with a lot of my major ships. And so I don't tend to, like, seek out a lot of fan fiction that's, like, you know, functional, you know, multi-relationships and stuff like that, even though there's a lot of them around in fandom. So I haven't really explored that. Like, I don't really read a lot of things like that, but I like that the fandom likes it so much, and I love that it's called Sour Skittles. So, yeah. I tend to get a little bit confused slash my head gets a bit, like, as I said, I really like the concept of it working even in a show where characters are sort of conflicted about how they feel about people, or where they all have good chemistry. But I don't think I've ever, like, read any fan fiction about about a three-way relationship, except one time about Harry, Ron, and Hermione, and I don't remember even how I got onto that, but that was a thing. And Hermione died, and the two boys were left raising a baby, their baby
oh my
that
God.
Hermione had from one of them. Yeah, it was intense, and I was like, okay, this is weird. I don't even know how I got here. This is probably like 15 years ago, by the way. So
wow.
Anyway, moving on.
Yeah, so that's all fine and good, but I don't care about anything except for this next ship. All of them can crash and burn. I don't care. This is mine.
You'll die on a hill for this ship.
I will. And that is Scott and Isaac. Yeah. I love Scott and Isaac so much.
This is my big thing. Like, because in a fandom, when I get into a fandom, I tend to, like, as I said, I'm bad at multi-shipping. I tend to divide people up into, like, how I think their chemistry works. And, like, I'm like, okay, like, that is the pairing that would happen if I was going to follow it up. So, like, with Teen Wolf, it was very much Stiles and Derek. And if Scott wasn't, like, with, you know, Allison or, you know, in or Kira, like, or someone he's canonically with, Isaac is the number one person that I would ship him with, like, because of their chemistry, just because of everything. So, and I'm just good. Like, and I'm like, why would he have chemistry with another guy when he could have chemistry with Isaac? Like, why would that ever be a thing? Like, I don't understand. This is my thing, and apparently this is a bad attitude to have in fandom, so I'm really sorry. But if there's anyone else out there that has, like, problems multi-shipping because they literally, like, can't be like, yeah, but why? Like, that couldn't happen, like, because, you know, that other person still exists in this fandom and they would be with him, if you know what I mean. And if anyone else has that problem, I have that problem in a major way. And so, yeah, you can commiserate with me. But, yeah,
actually,
Scott and Isaac.
I think I'm the same way, to tell you the truth, because it's like once I like a pairing, I can't think of them with anybody else.
Yeah.
Because it just, like, complicates it too much for me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is the thing. Like, yeah, we talk about this a lot. We talk about this a lot in regards to do with Marvel stuff.
That's what I was thinking.
Because I remember when I met Karen in New York. When I met Karen in New York, and we were going, and I was just like, okay, so, and we were kind of just starting to talk about, like, Marvel stuff. It was just when the Winter Soldier movie was coming out, and it was kind of overtaking a lot of stuff in the Marvel fandom. But we were in New York and we were talking. I was just like, and I was kind of very, like, I kept my voice very even, and I was just kind of like, just checking, like, in the movies, like, would you ship Tony and Steve together? And she was like, no, God, it's Tony and Bruce. And I was like, thank God. I was like, thank God, Karen. Thank God, or I'm going to have to leave you on this street right now. Yeah, and in the same way, I know, I actually do know several people in the Captain America fandom who can't ship Steve with anyone else because of the way that he acts in canon about Bucky, that regardless of whether it was romantic or not, that he has displayed that it is his number one priority, and so it would be weird if he just had, like, a romance on the side that wouldn't mean as much, if you know what I mean. And so all of that kind of thing, I tend to get really stuck in my head with multi-shipping. I'm like, it doesn't make sense to me in the canon or, you know, in a fan fiction that would just be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to make them like each other when it's obviously, so obviously not that way. Just saying, Karen, apparently this is an attitude that's really bad to have in fandom, I'm told. Sorry, fandom, if it is considered really bad, but it's just, I just get really stuck with, like, my idea of a person's chemistry and their priorities and why, you know, something would work or wouldn't work, and I tend to not be able to flick around very easily, but
yeah,
oh well.
Agreed. But, okay.
Scott and Isaac.
Yes, because I need to talk about this. And
yeah.
I think the first moment that I started shipping them was when they were in the club at, you know, one of the raves that these kids go to all the time.
So many raves.
I know. And Scott and Isaac haven't really, they weren't on the same side, really, up until this point. They were sort of reluctantly working together, trying to get to Jackson. And I just remember Scott telling Isaac, I don't want anything to happen to you. And the look on Isaac's face was like, oh my God, you care about me? And after that, it was like Isaac was done. Like, he was Scott's man. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
And he's just so incredibly loyal to him. And then all of that culminated for me in the, dude, I love Mexican line, because that's beautiful.
He knows. Yeah. Like,
and my ultimate, like, fantasy for this couple is just going, like, on a date to a Mexican diner or something like that. Aww. It would just be, oh my God, cute. So funny.
He's like, Isaac, no questions, like, not a question, number one person who I want to come back to the show, like, without, like, yeah, there's no debate. I need him to come back to the show, at some point, maybe, if in any way possible, please, for the love of God. But I love him, and I just love his dynamic with Scott. I have written in my list of ships, like, about Scott and Isaac, literally every interaction, because it's true. And I love everything about Isaac's personality to start with, like, in general. And I can't believe how much I hated him the first time I watched it. Like, the first time I watched Teen Wolf, I was like, that guy's a dick. And then I watched it again, I'm like, yeah, he's a dick, but it's awesome. Like, and I love him so much that I can't deal with it. And I'm fanning my face literally right now. And I just love, like, I love that he, like, kind of flusters Scott. Like, and he's, like, so good looking that I feel like, Scott and Styles, I get it. Like, I get how it can be done. I get, like, the growing up together, and I get, like, how, you know, the feelings about how you mean about someone, or about, like, finding out that someone has, like, their sexuality different to how you thought it was, and it can kind of bring new feelings. But I really love ships as well, where it's, like, not like someone turns you, but, like, someone makes you notice things that you never noticed before. And that tends to happen when the person is, like, new to your life, rather than, like, someone that you've known forever that you then start noticing different things about. I don't know, in my opinion. And so I really love the idea of this, like, beautiful, cheekboned, curly-haired angel making Scott just go, huh? Hang on. And I don't know, he's just, I don't know, they're so cute, and he's so sassy, and I just love him. Like, the idea of him flirting with Scott. I love the hot girl line. It's just ridiculous. And it's just, they just have such good chemistry as, like, potential, like, flirtatious partners. And I love that. So I can't. It's,
I know.
Yeah. It's probably my number one favorite, like, male Teen Wolf ship. I like Steric. Like, and there's so much fan work about it that, you know, the quality is very high because of the sheer amount of it, you know, that there is, it means that there's very high quality stuff there. And I definitely get the chemistry that people see, but this one is the most tangible chemistry on the show to me, in my opinion anyway. Like, I'm not saying, like, I don't think this Steric stuff is made up. I think it's there, but I think this is, like, a very tangible and very plausible chemistry that I really love. So this is my number one ship, even though, again, I don't read too much stuff, because I think that I've spent more time, like, thinking about Styles and Derek, both of them separately as characters, that I, like, am more used to reading stuff in their voices in some way, whereas something from Scott or Isaac's perspective isn't something that I'm super used to. But, you know, from my own reading of the canon, this is my number one. I love it so much.
So do anyway, I. This is
sorry.
Why we're friends.
This has got a lot of feelings.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love this. But yeah, if anyone has any brilliant Scott and Isaac recs that they want to send, please. Yeah. If anyone has any Bruce and Tony recs that they want to send Karen, she gets mad that the only stuff that I keep wrecking her in Marvel is Captain America based and not Tony Stark based. So
all we talk about is Steve Rogers. Don't get me wrong, I love Steve, I really do, but I need more Tony in my life.
I've been talking about Steve Rogers every day for 10 months. It's really bad. But yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, no, but it's true. And I do love Tony. Let's not do this right now. But yeah, anyway, the point is, multi-shipping is difficult for us. Send some Scott and Isaac Rex. Thank you. Okay.
Yes. Moving on. All right. So another ship is Lydia and Allison. And this is something that I feel like there should be more of. Like, I expect there to be more of it, and I haven't seen a lot of it. But I like the concept of it. I mean, kind of too late now, unfortunately, because, you know, Allison's dead. Mm. But I always really liked the idea of, like, a sleepover, girls' night in sort of thing between the two of them.
I like this ship, like, in concept, I like this ship, but I've actually always struggled with Allison and Lydia's relationship in general, like, because it, and it's really bad, because, like, it does end up very, you know, meaningful, and they're kind of, they're always saving each other and helping each other and doing stuff together, but it always confused me as to how deep it truly was, because we never got to see a lot of them in private. So I would have liked to see more of that, if you know what I mean. Like, that we, you know, or when we did see them in private, it was about, like, you know, saving the boys from some disaster or, like, the supernatural issues rather than, like, their feelings. I don't know. And I would have liked to see more of them talking about their feelings and maybe even arguing, like, talking, you know, how they approach problems or their attitudes, because they never really felt like the same type of girl to me. And, I mean, not all girls, obviously, all girls are different. But, you know, Lydia kind of picked up Allison as this new friend, and it sort of seemed to take Allison by surprise in a way. And she was like, oh, good, someone wants to be my friend. But they didn't really seem like the same kind of girl immediately. And I always wanted more about why they were close rather than just circumstance. So that's something I would have liked to see, and maybe the fandom that's into that pairing has explored that. But I don't know. Did you ever feel like that there was something, like, more that you should have known about their friendship? Like, I've always struggled with it for some reason.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it goes back to just, like, I think it was the very first episode when Lydia sort of, like you said, picks up Allison and is just like, you're going to be my new best friend. And you could tell that it was sort of like a possession thing. You know, here's the pretty new girl. You know, I want her to be my friend so she's not competition, that sort of thing. It felt very shallow at first. But I think as the years went on, they did develop a very solid friendship, especially once they both came into the fold and knew everything that was going on. But I guess a lot of that happened off screen, which is fine. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes you don't have room for all of that sort of exposition. But I like both of their characters so much, and I liked, you know, the two leading ladies being such good friends that I would have liked to have seen that more on screen.
I don't know. Yeah, there was always just something that felt like to me, like, that you needed to know more about their friendship in private, like, not just, like, them saving the world together in private. So I don't know. As you said, too late now, lol. But yeah, okay.
Speaking of too late, our next ship is Boyd and Erica, and this is actually one that fascinates me the most, because in fandom you find that a lot of times people kind of just erase their deaths and pretend that they're still alive. And this ship they weren't necessarily together while they were on the show, but you got the feeling that they became very close friends very quickly, and that there definitely could have been something else there. And I love the way that fandom has handled them as individuals and as a ship. And I think it's so cool the way in which they've kind of resurrected them. But my favorite Boyd and Erica moments would be, you know, anytime they're kind of causing havoc. And this is especially true at the lacrosse game when Boyd just kind of takes off his jacket. And I mean, that dude is solid. And you just see, like, his muscles bulging, and Erica's, like, kind of giddy. And she's like, yeah, go for it. And I just like the idea of them being a sort of, like, Bonnie and Clyde type of couple.
Oh, that's so cute. Yeah, I agree. I really like fics that erase their death, or like AUs and stuff like that, like where it's, you know, they're sort of all part of the group. And I do. I loved both of those characters. And I do feel like they were kind of heading down that, you know, that direction or whatever. Even though the only time we really saw Erica hook up with someone was when, like, her and Isaac hooked up together to seduce Jackson to shoot him with that, which was one of my favorite scenes on Teen Wolf. But anyway, moving on. Okay, so this is, like, not going to make sense to anyone. If this makes sense to you as a listener, come and high five me on Twitter, because I'm not, like, super inspired. Like, I don't, like, write fan fiction, but, and I don't usually, like, get ideas, but I there's a particular song by a particular band in which the story of it is you know, just about the narrator of the song, the singer, and kind of his community of friends, and it kind of, it's a very narrative story. The song is called Better Open the Door. It's by a band called Motion City Soundtrack, and it's basically just, you know, him, you know, talking about his life and his friends' lives. And so I've just linked Karen to the lyrics, but it's basically a guy just sort of telling a story about his kind of, him and his sort of aimless youth friends and like their situation and what they do. And it's always stuck in my head as like the perfect inspiration for a fic, probably a steric fic, like, because I very, very much see the narrator of the song as Styles. But just the way he describes several of his friends, I can place the rest of the pack into the characters in the song very clearly. And I, this is really weird. This is going to sound really weird, but and this very rarely happens to me. I very rarely get like all inspired, but I can very, very clearly place like the pack, especially like Isaac Boyd and Erica, like that era of the pack, into this song. And I can imagine a fic based on like the lifestyle in this song, and, you know, a summer, you know, off school or a summer back from college where everyone's just sort of hanging around and doing stuff, and that the main pairing is Styles and Derek kind of getting to know each other, but, you know, in that way. But I don't know, if you're reading the lyrics, Karen, there's just something about the story of it that I can really see, like Isaac, Boyd and Erica, you know, and Styles and Scott and Lydia kind of just having this sort of aimless summer or something like that. And I don't know, it's always stuck in my head really badly. And this is really convoluted and weird, but it's something that I've been thinking about for years. So, yeah, sorry.
Now I want to listen to the song because I think that would help a little bit. But, yeah, that's cool.
The lyric, there's a lyric where it's like, Frank fails to see the humor in my sad attempts at breakdancing at every bar along Lindale Avenue. And I can see that. I can see Boyd judging drunk Styles for trying to breakdance on the floor of bars and stuff. I don't know. Sorry, this is so weird. But if anyone knows that song, think about it from the perspective of Styles and the pack, and you will maybe write me a nice fan fiction one day. But anyway, moving on from that, that was weird. But that's my main thought when I think about Boyd and Erica, is I think about that era of the pack and how they could have all been like great fun friends once they got past everything. And yeah, except they're all dead now.
Oh, hey, let's move on to somebody that's not dead.
Cool.
And that would be Parrish. Parrish is definitely not dead, and I think we're all very happy for that.
Yay.
First one for him is Parrish and Lydia. And this was something that I had not thought about until the first time they interacted, and then it was, I was gone. I was so into this.
It's,
and
the best.
It's, their chemistry is so immediate, and you know, it's when he finds Lydia at that house and she knows that there's something going on, and, you know, they find the dead bodies together. But before that, you can kind of just see him looking at her and being like, so, you know, I've heard that you show up at crime scenes a lot, and, you know, he thinks that she's psychic and all this stuff. And it's just that immediately, and her looks to him and the whole thing about not wanting to date, you know, boys anymore and high schoolers. And it's just like, yeah, I could definitely get on board with this.
Yeah, I'm also super into it. And I love the like impressed looks that like she gives him when he ends up kind of using some shady tactics to get like stuff that they want from Brunsky at Eichenhaus. And it's just, yeah, they just have something. Like, it was, as you said, it was very immediate. It was very much like, oh, that's definitely a thing, very quickly. And I really, really like the idea of it. You know, we don't know exactly Parrish's deal right now, like how, you know, number one, if he's really the age he says he is, we don't know. He doesn't know what he is in terms of the supernatural and how that can affect him and all of that kind of stuff. But like, as people, like, there's definitely a really cool interest there that I'm really excited for if it is carrying on, basically.
Yeah, and actually that part with Brunsky and everything makes me think of Styles too, because there's a point where Styles just goes, "You, I like you," or like, "You, I'm gonna keep you," or something like that.
Yeah.
and I love the idea of, you know, oh, he's dating a deputy and, you know, his dad can't find out and, like, Styles getting arrested and, you know, the two of them having to, like, interact. And I think the whole concept of that is really cool. And I think I'd like to read some fics about that. I haven't read anything yet, but it would be nice.
No, I hadn't really thought about it, but I think that could definitely be a really cool, cool concept of him and Styles. I really like the idea of that. And yeah, like, there's, oh, that would be fun. And his dad, and yeah, it would be great. Yes. So yes, I'm into that as well. I think that could be a lot of fun.
And speaking of Papa Stilinski, of course we're not going to forget about him and Mama McCall. It always surprises me how much people love this ship, because they're two adults, and usually people our age are really into shipping people that are the same age as us, and, you know, it just happens to be that way because you're interested in them because, you know, they're like your peers. And yet so many people are so on board with Mama McCall and Papa Stilinski getting together. And I'm definitely one of them. I would love to see them going on a date and constantly being interrupted by their children either calling or showing up or getting to some supernatural conundrum. And then just giving up and being like, look, let's just, you know, go home and watch a movie and eat some pizza or something.
I'm not going to lie. I love this in theory, but in practice, the show obviously has never had any moments of like, oh, we maybe like each other. There's never been any like tension moments between them. They're very comfortable with each other, which is a really good thing, like for a ship. But it interests me that so many people ship it because of that, like because there's never been any like lingering moments, basically. You know, they're very, very honest with each other. They're very open with each other, you know, about their, you know, they know a lot about each other's exes and all of that kind of stuff. All this stuff is really good foundation for a relationship, honestly. But the show's never made it linger, if you know what I mean. And so it interests me that both the fandom and the actors, who are great fun about
it,
like,
gosh.
You know, are really into it. So that's fun. And it would be interesting to see if this season, you know, that there is some sort of fulfillment. You know, one of the things that the actors talk about a lot, like especially the adults, is that, you know, they appreciate the amount of time they get on the show because it's obviously, you know, Teen Wolf. They don't have like a lot of plot lines that are just the adults doing adult things. What they get is really good, but, you know, there isn't a super large amount of time to, like, focus on, like, you know, an adult storyline. So, you know, I don't know if the show would ever have time to, like, make that relationship develop or anything like that. Like, you know, maybe it's like, oh, our parents started dating over the summer and then they're just, like, together. But, and I'm sure the fandom would totally buy it. But to me, there hasn't been any moments of, like, you know, ooh, will, you know, will they get together? Like, oh, do we maybe feel something? And as I said, I don't know if I really have a problem with that or not. Like, you know, everything that they have is a really, really good foundation for a relationship, but we don't know, you know, in canon how they feel about each other. There hasn't been any, like, flirting or anything like that. So, yeah, we'll see.
Definitely. I think that there's a huge potential to move in that direction, but like you said, they're so comfortable with each other that anything they have isn't going to be overt, and I think that I prefer it that way. I like the idea that they basically know everything about each other, and they're in the same sort of situation right now in terms of like their kids and how they're wrapped up in everything that's going on in Beacon Hills. So I wouldn't mind it being, you know, a slow burn or something that happens like really naturally and gradually, rather than all of a sudden, you know, boom, like they're getting married or something like that. Yeah.
Oh, a wedding on Teen Wolf.
Oh, man. Now, another one that was suggested to us that I had sort of forgotten that I liked, oddly enough, was Malia and Kira. And for me, this one comes from the club scene, of course, when they're dancing together. And I don't necessarily, like, ship it, but I liked the two of them together. I liked the way that Malia took control and was helping Kira, and Kira being sort of, like, a little bit passive, but then sort of getting into it. And I thought they had good chemistry together.
Yeah, I actually think that they're really cute friends. The dancing was certainly really, really cool. I also loved that awkward scene where Malia was like, you know, you have to tell us what's in Scott's bed. And Kira's like, I haven't been in it, only on top of it, wearing clothes, if you know what I mean. Like, I love that Kira is so awkward and probably, like, you know, quite embarrassed about talking about things, whereas Malia is totally the opposite, you know, really, really open without any understanding of why someone would have, like, some inherent, like, embarrassment or shame about talking about things. And I really, really like that dynamic as friends. I think it's really fun. And, you know, they're friends with Lydia, but, like, you know, neither of them is ever going to be, I guess, to Lydia what Allison was or what the show wants us to think Allison was, as we discussed earlier. We don't really know, you know, too much about Allison and Lydia's private friendship. But, you know, Malia and Kira have the potential to kind of be each other's best girl. You know, they're both sort of new and, you know, stuck in this thing together. So I like them a lot. I think they're a lot of fun. I think Malia and Styles are both two characters that would work really, really well, you know, as we've discussed, as canonically bisexual. I think both of them would work extremely well in that direction, and maybe that could be some implied flirting with Kira. But, yeah, I would like to see them, definitely more of them interacting in the show, I think.
And speaking of best friends and that sort of thing, we also got the suggestion of Liam and Mason, which is something that I hadn't really thought of before. I don't know if I necessarily ship them, although I can see in the vein of like Jackson and Danny and Scott and Styles where that idea would come from. So how do you feel about that one?
I think that I like them better as friends. Like, I actually like them as, you know, the straight dude and the gay dude best friends who aren't, you know, I get the Jackson and Danny thing as well, but I never particularly shipped them either. Like, I really like the idea of not shipping them. And I don't know, I would like them, you know, Mason to have more of a plot. I think he's such a nice character. And I really want to know about him and Liam's life. Like, I really want to know about how they became best friends. If it's just like, oh, we've decided we're best friends after 1 month of me being at this school, like Allison and Lydia, or whether they knew each other before Liam coming to the school. I'm really into the relationship. I don't know if I like ship it as a ship, but I'm really, really into it. I kind of tiny, tiny bit ship Liam with Scott, but I don't know if that's weird or not. Yeah, I don't know. I want to know about their relationship because I really liked our stepbrothers theory, and I don't know if that would, like, make it weird, if you know what I mean. And
yeah,
we still don't know 100% if that's fake or not.
Right.
So, yeah.
So we talked about this a little bit privately within our group, but next up is Peter and Peter's various ships. And I think there are things that I like about shipping Peter with some people, but as Danya said, like, she doesn't really ship Peter, period. And not to be, like, funny or mean about it, but I kind of feel the same way. I feel like Peter's role is so far removed from, like, a romantic aspect of the show that I can't necessarily think of him as, you know, shipping him with somebody else. But I know that a lot of people do like Styles and Peter, probably because of, like, the whole offering the bite kind of thing. So what do you think about that one, first of all?
I get the chemistry between Styles and Peter, for sure, but it certainly wouldn't be, like, a healthy, like, it wouldn't be like a, like, oh, yes, this is the true love relationship that we're for, you know, oh, you know, you better accept this, you know, friends, this is love and all of that kind of stuff. Like, I definitely understand the chemistry behind it, but I feel like that the fic exploring it or anything like that would be, like, not fluffy, happy stuff. It would be, like, messed up stuff. So, I don't know.
Right. And yeah. I feel the same way with Peter and Lydia, and I'm sort of two minds with this because I like the idea of Peter and Lydia. I really do. But when you really think about all the stuff that Peter did to Lydia, it's kind of gross and very, very unhealthy. But I do kind of like young Peter and Lydia a little bit, but I try to not, like, go down that road too much because the things that Peter did to Lydia were really horrible, basically, like, mentally torturing her for quite a while. And, yeah, I think anything between the two of them really would not be a healthy relationship at all.
Oh, no, no, no. And I know a lot of people want her to, like, kill him and stuff, and I still don't know what I want for Peter, but, yeah, I think that that's even worse than Styles and Peter, honestly, in terms of, like, power dynamic and damage and all sorts of things. It's really, really screwed up. As I said, certainly understand the grounds for exploring those characters together and, like, you know, angst and all of that kind of thing, but I don't think that that's going to be a happy ending. I know the actors are quite good friends in real life, like, you know, that would be an interesting chemistry, like, that they do have a good chemistry because of that, but yeah, I don't know, man, it's a bit much, isn't it, the idea of Peter and Lydia.
Yeah, but last ship, because I totally forgot about this. I don't know if you've seen it yet, but I added this in here because I totally forgot about it, but I love this. Chris and Derek. I love Chris and Derek together. I love the way that Derek goes to Chris for help, and he kind of sees him, you know, once as an enemy, now sort of as an equal, and both of them have really come to terms with their friendship. And, oh, God, I remember that one episode where Derek starts to go a little bit crazy and he, like, lights the lighter in front of Chris. And
that
we
was
were
a weird time for all of us.
That we were all going crazy over that. And I can't believe I almost forgot to add it to the list, but there you go.
Yes, I agree. I think that's a really cool dynamic as well. And I don't know if I would, like, ship it. I think it definitely has potential. Chris, I see, is incredibly loyal to Victoria. Like, I see him as never really getting over that. But I like that, and I definitely love that dynamic. I think that's been a great one to grow. And, you know, I would have liked to see Chris more with Isaac as well, but I think that the Derek choice is really good, and I think that it's really, really, really fun and exciting to play with. And, again, and the actors are great together in real life as well. It's a really good chemistry to work with, and I really... Yeah, good times. I enjoyed it a lot, actually. Yeah, I didn't see that you added it until just the end just now. But, yeah, goodness, good fun, good times. I have a question for you, actually, about just, I guess, not necessarily any of the big ships, but if you have any standalone moments of Teen Wolf that you consider, like, the most romantic moments, seeing as we're talking about, you know, Valentine's Day. And, yes, we've explored a lot of the ships and, you know, we've talked about moments that we've liked, but, you know, any of the, you know, quote-unquote objectively romantic moments of the show, whether it's, like, you know, just something that happened in one episode or, you know, with not necessarily a big ship or anything, really, like some of the most romantic portrayals on the show, off the top of your head, if you happen to have any.
That's a really good question, and a difficult one, I think, because, like we've discussed before, Teen Wolf doesn't focus too much on the romantic aspects of everybody's relationships. I mean, yes, there's, you know, relationships aplenty and people get together and break up all the time, but this is a very plot-driven show and the relationships kind of come as a consequence and they tend to complicate what is already there. They're not a main focus, which I really like about it because it allows you to focus on the bigger story. But whenever I think of romance, I think of Scott and Allison for sure. And, you know, honestly, I think it goes back to the first thing that I talked about when they were in the forest, because it was such a simple day and it was so beautiful and cute and they were just getting to know each other. And, you know, before things went absolutely crazy in Beacon Hills, and it was, yeah, I guess just that simple sort of romance that I don't think we really get that much anymore on the show, but I really appreciate.
Yeah, a couple of mine have actually involved, like, non-lead characters. Like, I really thought that one of the really standout romantic portrayals for me in the show was the flashback with Nashiko and her army boyfriend. Oh. I thought that their story was really, like, horrible, but also very, like, the romance portrayed between them was really gorgeous. Same goes for, like, Lydia's grandmother and her girlfriend, like, her reaction to the girlfriend's death, and yes, it totally screwed everything up, but, like, that was clearly a, you know, a love for the ages, I guess, you know, if it messed her up that much and just that kind of thing. And also Nashiko again with her, you know, new man, like with the with Mr. Yukimura. I think that their relationship is super cute. And like, if they met, like, you know, when he was researching the camps and all of that kind of thing, and just, you know, how that love must have developed. I think that they have a really cute, loving relationship. You know, him worrying about her, like, using the last tail. And I think they're a really, really cool romance. I really, really like that one, actually.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. But I love the way that he obviously found out about her being a kitsune and yet still is with her. And, you know, he's completely ordinary. And yet that's totally okay. You know, it doesn't mess anything up. And they have, from what we've seen, a really healthy relationship, which I always like seeing portrayed on television.
Yeah, a couple of the other ones that really stand out, again, were Talia and Deaton, like Deaton's like obsession with Talia, which I really liked. And, like, just his, you know, the way that he would talk to her in those scenes. You know, Carly and Jennifer, even though that it was messed up, like, some of the most kind of emotional, like, you know, admittances were about that relationship. And I guess that whole flashback, baby Derek killed your girlfriend, sad thing was also, yeah, sorry for the downer. I'm trying to think of some happy ones. maybe no happy ones. I don't know.
There's no happiness on Teen Wolf.
There's been a lot of nice romance moments that are maybe not necessarily from the lead characters, as well, but yeah, I don't know, romantic. I really liked Styles and Lydia and her birthday party and him trying to buy all those gifts and then her finding out about it later on and realizing, like, how much he weirdly cares about her. I really loved that. I thought that was really cute.
That was nice, yeah.
Anyway, you can chime in and mention your favorite romantic moments. If we have not covered them all, we might be missing something major that we've forgotten about. But yeah, I really, you know, as I said, it's not a show hugely founded in romance, but it has its moments, which is nice.
Definitely. So, yeah, basically just let us know what you guys think and leave us anything that we missed. We'll be happy to continue talking about it. Hope everyone had a good Valentine's Day. And I guess
I wonder if they'd do a Teen Wolf Valentine's Day episode.
I could see that going entail horribly wrong.
Like crazy evil Cupids or something.
That would be kind of cool.
Sorry.
But just to wrap up here, I've got a non sequitur question for you.
Okay.
And I was just wondering what, you know, 2015 is going to be a huge year for movies. I was just wondering what movies you're most looking forward to seeing this year.
Oh my God, Karen, I'm going to see Jupiter Ascending tonight and it's going to be the best day of my life.
Is it? Okay. I really kind of want to see it. It looks so terrible, but it looks, I don't know, good.
No, Karen, you know that I don't like bad movies, right? Like,
yeah.
You know, yeah. This is going to be a bad movie. It's going to be the worst movie I've ever seen in my life, and it's going to be freaking amazing. Like, it's it's just crazy. Like, I think it's just going to be one of those, like, crazy, like, some of the reviews that every review I've read of it has been like, this is the worst movie ever. Go and see it immediately and give it all your money. It's just like total, it's a total like mess. It's a total, I don't know, just, yeah, everything about it is ridiculous, but it's going to be in such an awesome way. And they had so much money to do it with. And I love everyone in the cast. And so, yeah, I don't know. It's going to be a lot. And I'm excited to go see that tonight. What other movies? I can't think that far ahead. I don't know what movies are coming out later in the year. There's a movie that hopefully is going to come in cinemas in Australia called The Last 5 Years, which I just wrote a feature on for Hyperbole, which is it's a musical adaptation. So it was a Broadway show that got adapted into a musical. Very low-key, not like massive Les Mis-style adaptation. And I have seen it online, but I really want to see it in the cinema, and because it got an in-demand and a cinema release at the same time. It's so good, and I've made Brooke watch it as well. I can't remember what movies are coming out later this year. I'm really bad.
I think you're missing, like, a big one.
Yeah, Avengers Age of Ultron. But I have issues with the way that might happen. With things, I'm really excited, but it's like, I'm a little bit stressed as well. So, I don't know. Past Avengers in May, I don't know anything coming out this year. So,
Well, we were talking about the fact that I've recently converted and convinced myself that I do want to go see Kingsman.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I think that's going to be good. That's a comic book adaptation written by, the movie's done by Matthew Vaughn and Jane Goldman, who have done some really good movies. The clip, you know, the trailer makes it look a bit like farcical and ridiculous, like a parody of James Bond that's really stupid or something. It's not going to be like that. It's going to be really good. So I do think that you should go and see that.
Yeah, I think that's what threw me off at first, was that it looked really ridiculous. But then the more I watched the trailer and saw different clips, I was like, no, this actually looks like a really good story and stuff like that. And I love those kind of movies anyway, like super violent movies and lots of action. So it's going to be cool. I'm definitely looking forward to Ultron, obviously. Mm-hmm. Another huge one I'm looking forward to is Jurassic World. I cannot wait to see that. I'm so excited to see it in theaters because I didn't see, you know, any of the other Jurassic Park movies in theaters. Yeah. So I'm going to take my best friend who's like terrified of dinosaurs. She has trouble watching Jurassic Park, and we're going to go see this. She's like, oh, I hate you so much, but I'm really excited about it. And then Scorch Trials, of course. I finished reading the book. So now that I know, you know, what it's going to be about, I'm definitely excited to see how they adapt that into the film.
Yes, I want to get that book as well in order to read it before the movie comes out as well. So that'll be really good. And I think that's coming in like September or something like that. So that should be really, really fun and yay. One of the other movies that I'm weirdly excited about is like super the opposite of that. It's called Woman in Gold. It's called The Woman in Gold, and it is a movie starring Helen Mirren, and it's basically about this woman who was, well, her aunt was the model for a bunch of really famous Klimt paintings that got like taken by the Nazis and like possessed by the Nazis in occupied Austria or Germany. And basically like 50 years later, her family like fights to get them returned into the family's custody. And it like basically is a flashback to the history and all that kind of stuff. So I'm really interested in seeing that. And it's a true story, obviously, because those paintings are real. So, yeah, I'm really excited to see that. And it's Helen Mirren and Ryan Reynolds, and it's about, like, sad Holocaust stuff. And it's going to be really good. And you like art, so you should go see this movie. But it's not, like, a crazy action movie. It's, like, a sad Holocaust movie.
Well, yeah. I mean, I have lots of different preferences.
Look it up. It's called Woman in Gold, and I saw a trailer for it a little while ago, and I'm like, wow, this looks really intensely good. So I'm excited for that.
Yeah. In my book, anytime you mix art history with, like, World War II Nazi era stuff,
Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, that's a huge one. Helen Mirren, also a huge one. That just makes me really excited. So this sounds
Go watch the trailer as soon as we finish here.
Yes.
Go watch the trailer.
I will do that.
That's the other movie. I was like, is this going to be, like, too lame to mention? This is not, like,
no.
You know, a high sci-fi action movie. No. That's a movie I'm really looking forward to, though. So, yeah.
Cool.
Yes.
All right. I think that's about it.
Great. So hopefully everyone enjoyed that. You know, feel free to chime in with your opinions on the ships or favorite moments or anything like that. Please tell us if we got anything desperately wrong. I mean, objectively the wrong, like not wrong in opinion wise. We don't really want to know if you think our opinions are wrong. Sorry. But yeah, I think that's everything. And, you know, if we've missed anything major, please remind us. And yeah, keep the conversation going about the romance on Teen Wolf. And hopefully everyone had a nice Valentine's Day, you know, together or alone or whatever. I watched a depressing movie, so that was good. But yeah, I'll tell you guys another movie that's coming out. It should be coming out in cinemas like very soon, but it is also available online. It's called Playing It Cool. It stars my best friend Chris Evans, and it is one of the best movies I've seen in a long time. It is a slightly ridiculous indie arty rom-com. It's not really a rom-com. It's about a guy who's writing a rom-com, so it has like weird elements of that. It's so good, so good, and I've been waiting so long to watch it, and I just watched it. But it's so ridiculous. It has Aubrey Plaza from Parks and Rec in it. It has a bunch of different people in it. Anthony Mackie's in it as well, if you liked him. Yeah, it's so good. Allegedly, it's going to get a theatrical run in May-ish. The DVD has apparently been released somehow already. It's been worked on for a really long time, and I think everything got a bit out of order, but I think the hype of it, I think it was never going to get a cinema release, but now, like, the popularity of Chris Evans has meant that it is. It was amazing. It's weird and amazing, and it's one of the best movies I've seen in ages, so everyone should go and see that. If they get the chance, or watch it online if they get the chance, because it was great, and it was, yeah, my favourite movie that I've seen so far this year, but I am going to see Jupiter Ascending tonight, so everything may change. anyway, sorry. Oh, and Magic Mike sequel, sorry, speaking of Jupiter Ascending, Channing Tatum, not for the reasons that Magic Mike is pitched. I think Magic Mike, the original, like the first one, is a really deep and clever movie, and I'm hoping that the sequel holds up to that. So yeah, I'll stop talking about movies now. You've gone a bit too far. But anyway, sorry about that. What were we saying? We were saying goodbye. So I'll say bye to Karen, and I'll say bye to all of you. Hopefully, go see some movies and come talk to us about the couples on Teen Wolf that you most like. And thank you for contributing on Twitter before we started. So, bye-bye.
Bye. Next one is...
What was that?
Oh, my God.
Did something just fall off the wall? Like,
no. Hold on.
Mm-hmm.